session number 19594, Reel 5.
Norman Bryan, Reel 5.
Well, then, as I say, by then I'd done my over 4 years service, and so I was on more or less on one of the first ships home from Rangoon. But on this, a ship came in, and it was full of prisoners of war from Singapore. Our own prisoners of war going home. So they said about 30 or 40 of the people who had done over 4 years could go home on the ship with the prisoners of war. So I was one of the 40 to go home, to come home. When we got on the ship, we were told we had to do all the duties and that the prisoners of war was going to do nothing at all. So we do all the duties of the ship. So we thought this was wrong. So we made a complaint and said, well, look, we have been fighting for the last 12 months in Burma. And we don't, and to be quite truthful, with all due respect to our prisoners of war, they looked in a far better, healthier condition than we did. You know, we'd been fighting and starving. Perhaps they'd been, but they looked very well. We said we didn't think that we should be in a position where we're doing all the duties and waiting on, we had to wait on these prisoners of war.
What do you mean, at table?
Yes, and all that. So, yeah, we'd done all duties. We thought it was all wrong. We hadn't been finished fighting 5 minutes, and we've been in the jungle, as you know, just about 12 months. So we said we didn't think it was right. So anyway, in the end, they agreed that it wasn't right. And so we all, you know, all done our fair share of duties. Anyway, we called in Ceylon on our way back, and that was absolutely marvellous. We see English girls and white girls there we hadn't seen for years. And then we go to Port Suez, in the Suez Canal. And there, the prisoners of war was allowed into Port Suez. They had a train laid on for them to get any equipment they like. So I said, the Burma soldiers, us veterans, we weren't allowed on. So anyway, I knew the sergeant on the deck who was supposed to stop us from going and just let the prisoners of war go on the ship. And I said, I'm going into Port Suez. He said, well, of course you can, Norman. He said, you've gone through. So I went into Port Suez as a prisoner of war, you know. Well, and then of course our own fellows. So anyway, we get to Port Suez and it was absolutely marvellous. They had everything waited on, their uniforms. You know, it's not good enough for you, have this and this, you have this. Of course, I was a prisoner of war. I had a brand new, so I went up and I had a brand new uniform where we had uniforms thrown at us, you know, because we was in jungle green, you know, all torn and tattered. And we had these English uniforms, you know, khaki, just thrown at us, you know, one dark green and one light green, you know, it was terrible, it was really. But anyway, when we got to Port Suez, the prisoners of war had these you know, all matching suits, and so of course Norman gets in and he has cigarettes, sweets and everything, and had a smashing time. That was the Port Suez. Now another amazing thing, we get back to Liverpool, and as you know, I didn't have no inclination that I was going to be on this ship, because it was only the last minute. So we got, after we get into Liverpool, they give us our passes to go to different places where we wanted to go, you know, made out. So mine was made out to Petersfield. So that's from London to from Liverpool to King's Cross. This is King's Cross, isn't it? King's Cross to Petersfield. You wouldn't believe it. We get to King's Cross. The train was absolutely chock-a-block with soldiers, as you can imagine, all coming back from the Far East. On the station gates was my sister, her husband and a friend. They shouted, Norman, Norman. And I couldn't believe, you know, kit bag, you know, everybody all with their big bush hats on. And I said, well, how do you know? She said, well, she said, Florrie, that's her friend, she was this. She said, I read in the paper that a troop ship was coming home today. And she said, they said, Norman will be on it. Isn't it funny? Because I didn't know at all.
So what state were you in by the time you got home?
I was down to 8 stone.
Had you fallen ill in Burma?
No, as I was going to say, I think I was one of the very, very few that started the campaign and went the right way through without leaving until it was over. I shouldn't think there's many more at all.
Did you find it difficult to settle back into civilian life?
Oh, terrible, terrible.
In what way was it difficult?
Well, for ages, I felt I was from the outside looking in. It wasn't me.
You felt you didn't belong?
That's it. I didn't belong. It wasn't me, you know. I'm a different man looking in. It seemed to take ages before I realised that, well, I suppose you can understand it.
Had you become alienated from the way civilians went on?
No, I don't think so much of that. Only I didn't feel part of it then.
Did you go back into farming?
Yes.
How do you feel now about having served in the Worcester?
Wonderful. Absolutely, wouldn't have missed it for the world. Very proud, more than proud.
Did you ever have any nightmares about it?
Oh, yes, I still do now.
What subject are
you? Oh, Japanese jumping out on me and all that sort of thing, and after my wife half the time. And I'm stopping them. Oh, I get lots of my. In fact, I've hit my wife so many times that I spoke to the doctor about it. I said, if I kill my wife, perhaps one of these nights.
Has it not got any better?
No, it's got a lot better. Just this last year or so, well, not less than a year, but I screams and shouts out and all. In fact, I cut myself on the table only 2 or 3 years ago. I went to jump into my wife's protection, and I jumped. I was out of bed and hit a table, which was about 3 or 4 feet away from the bed. And split my lippy and split my head here. And then I've kicked them and I've split my toenail and split my toe, kicking the bottom of the bed. Oh, that's some terrible times. Oh, anyway, a few years ago, I got this terrible tetanus in my ears, both of them. They all ring and bang. They still are now. So at the British League, they said, you should have a doctor and you'd get conversation for these. So I didn't really very keen. So anyway, they said so. So I went to see a doctor at Guildford, army doctor, and he examined me, one thing and another. And he says, you were in Burma, Mr. Bryant, once. I said, yes. He says, and you think it was the British guns which caused you this trouble? I said, well, I think so. I said, the guns used to come up behind us. We never knew, they were about only behind those trees. And they'd open fire. And I remember this ear still ringing like devil now. And I said, they used to almost blow your ear sockets out. So after a while, he said, Mr. Bryant, he says, did the Japanese ever fire back at you? I thought, what a thing to say, I thought he was taking the mickey out of me. Well, I said, well, of course they did. Why? He said, well, you got a hole in your eardrum. He said, big enough for a Japanese shell to go in and out. But I never got a pension. It wasn't going to. I've still got all this rattling and banging in both ears.
All the time?
All the time. You can hear it now.